Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Thank you, worship team. You guys have been absolutely fantastic this morning, and we're going to worship a little bit later as well. But I want to get straight into the Word of God, and before we do, I'd be remiss of me to not dedicate this time for the Holy Spirit to do whatever He wants to do. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to do. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this message. I know that me, myself, speaking is just an ordinary, everyday human being, but when you put your spirit onto these words, when you breathe your life onto these words, there's something supernatural that man cannot culminate, that man cannot manufacture, that man cannot try and do by themselves. The Holy Spirit, right now, speak your truth, speak your message, speak your words, and that he that has an ear to hear, let him hear the word of the Lord this morning. We also just pray right now, and we lift up Paulina Kennedy, one of our tremendous leaders and volunteers here at our church, whose mother has just suddenly passed away, and she's on her way over there. Father, we pray for your comfort and your peace to be upon that family right now. We pray for your peace to even be with her daughter right now, even as she's around, Father. We pray that you would comfort them in this tremendous time of mourning, Father, and we pray that your grace would be so evident upon her in this difficult period. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to get straight to the Word of God this morning. We've had a tremendous start to 2020, and I'm so excited to know that God's doing something fresh, something new in the house. And I just get a sense that God is doing something with tremendous depth inside of our house. And so this morning, I've got a message, and usually with these kind of messages, you kind of wait to halfway through the year or later on in the year. But I really feel like this is a message that God wants to deliver for a spiritually rich atmosphere right now. And so I want to speak to you on something, and I titled it Water for Wholeness. Water for Wholeness. And we're going to look at the area of wholeness today. We're going to look at the area of transformation, because we know that only the Holy Spirit, only the Spirit of God can transform lives. Only the Spirit of God can move people who are stubborn, can move people who can't have, maybe people who have not seen things a certain way for so long. Only the Holy Spirit can literally drop down on Saul and say, hey, look at what you've been doing to my people. Now it's time to open your eyes, get up, walk, and start to minister. Only the Spirit of God can do that. And so we want to drop into the Word of God when Jesus was walking the earth in John chapter 5, 1 to 9. It says this: after this, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And so by Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which in Hebrew was called Bethesda, which had five porches. And in this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool, stirred the water. Whoever stepped in first after stirring the water was made well for whatever disease they had. So there was a certain man who had an infirmity for 38 years. Say 38 years. 38 years. 38 years. That's a long time. And Jesus saw him lying there. But Jesus being Jesus, he already knew that he had that condition for a long time. So he said to him, do you want to be made well? And the sick man offered this excuse, sir, I've no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming down, another steps in before me. And Jesus said, rise up, take your bed, walk. Immediately, the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. That day was a Sabbath, and Jesus said to him who was cured, it is a Sabbath and not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them, he who had made you well said to me, take up your bed and walk. And we stopped there for a second. You know, when talking about wholeness and when talking about transformation, it can be easy to kind of do the elbow. You know the elbow shrug? You know messages like these where you get that twitch in your elbow, where the pastor's like, hey, I want to talk about transformation and change. And the husband gets the elbow. You know, the wife gets the elbow. The partner gets the elbow. Come on, let's just be real right now. And so I found this. If the media team have a picture for me up. Do you have it, Seth? Do you have a picture for me up? You don't. Well, this is awkward, isn't it? Well, I found this picture, and it said, I got my husband a get well card, and it wasn't because he was sick. It's just because I wanted him to be better. And some of you, it'll take a second. And I thought, you know, it's so easy when we speak about our wholeness, when we speak about the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, to always think that, hey, this is kind of for someone else, you know. This is kind of for something else. This is kind of for a season that I used to go through and not for where I am right now. But you need to know that the best you is always a whole you. And wholeness is for every single person in this room, whether you're 1 year old or 100 years old, whether you've been a Christian for 10 seconds. Maybe in this place you haven't even made that decision yet, but maybe you've been a Christian for 20 years. Doesn't matter. Wholeness is for everyone. So Jesus approaches this place. His disciples are with him, and it's a place where people have come to be healed, and it's this pool of water. Next to this pool of water is a temple, and a temple with a gate. And they used to take the sheep in and out of this gate as sacrifices for the temple. But next to that temple, people who were lame, people who were unclean, in fact, people who needed physical healing would sit around this pool of water, supposedly being stirred by an angel. And the first one in was the best one to get that healing. It's like as soon as you got in that water, you got healed. But if you missed the moment, you missed your healing. It's a place where it wasn't just physical healing that was needed, it was also spiritual healing, because it was so close to a temple. It was so close to a religious place of so-called worship that they deemed that you were unclean to come into this temple. So even though you were so close to this religious, spiritual fulfillment, you were so far away because you weren't allowed to be in there. So it's a place of physical and spiritual healing, and people would sit around and wait for the waters to be stirred. They'd wait for their healing, broken, messed up, everyday people waiting for their healing, waiting for their restoration, waiting for their wholeness. And if I could be as blunt as to say, it sounds like myself in a lot of different seasons in my life, broken, messed up, just waiting on God to do something, knowing that I am not enough, knowing that in all of my strength, I could not save myself from the current predicament that I'm in. So I'm waiting for God to do something supernatural. I'm waiting. So here's Jesus approaching this pool. And it's not like a Crown Towers, you know, $65 per day, you know, pool where you come in and there's slippery slides and the water is amazing and there's super high levels of chlorine, because parents, we know what's been in that water with our children. And so, you know, Jesus comes into this stagnant, probably disease-infested, old water, and he asks the most bizarre question. A man who's been there for 38 years with an infirmity. 38 years. 38 years of holding on to that issue that happened at high school, holding that grudge. 38 years of managing that addiction that we thought no one would find out about. 38 years of that migraine that seemingly just won't go away. 38 years of holding on to that issue that you've been wrestling with for your whole life. 38 years. Substitute yourself into this story right now. How would you have felt? Jesus comes in. This man has been there for 38 years with this infirmity. And Jesus says this, "Sir, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well?" In other words, do you want to be made sound? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made wholesome? Do you want to be made whole? And the man, of course, just being like myself, if I'm honest, he offers an excuse. Well, Jesus, he's just said, no, stop. Get up. Your healing is here, right now. And when I look at this conversation, I look at this passage, it's interesting because it's like a passage which is circumstance versus character. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at circumstance versus character, because I think as believers, most of us are more interested in God changing our circumstance than we are in Him changing our character. Come on, let's have some real church this morning. Most of us are interested more in God changing our circumstance around us than God changing our character. Interesting to note that Jesus never once said, "Do you want it to change?" You know that? Jesus never said that. It's the Bible says that Jesus knew that this man had been here for a while. He never once said, hey, I know what's wrong, and I'll address that. He said, no, leave that to the side for a second. Do you want to change? In too many seasons of my own personal life, I've prayed prayers like this, even in our marriage. God, would you help us with our communication? Would you change it in our marriage so things are easier, so things are more graceful, so that things are easier to get through in every single season? But that's not the right prayer that I should have been praying. I should have been praying, God, would you change me? Because at times I'm stubborn. At times I can't hear properly. At times I want to see things in the way that I want to see them. God, would you change me first before you change this circumstance? Come on, can we have some real church this morning? And I wonder, how many times has that been our prayer life? Has that been your prayer life? God, would you change my circumstance? And God's like, caveat, wait. Could you just let me into your character for a second? Could you just allow me to change your character for a second? I think about Joseph. I think about a man who was sold into slavery by his brothers and put in prison for a crime he did not commit. The Bible says that God responded to the faithfulness of his character in every season, in every single season. And in a time where we can misquote biblical truths and take super cool catchphrases to put it on social media, I want to be very, very, very clear this morning. God cares about your situation. God cares about your circumstance. Healing is your portion. Of that, there can be no doubt. In fact, when Jesus spoke, he literally said, what father, if his son would ask for bread, would give him a stone? How much more so your heavenly Father wants to bestow blessings on to you? Matthew chapter 7, verse 9, look it up. It says that. Jesus says that. But here's the thing. Why would I let my son, Micah, who's about to turn 2, take our vehicle out onto Kwinana Freeway just because he likes playing cars in our garage? Right? You guys would think I'm psycho, right? I'd be all over that news. All over it. I mean, I'd lose my credentials. Bye-bye, Belmont. See you later. Why would I intervene in that circumstance, in that situation, when my son's character, when his growth, when his maturity is not ready for that responsibility yet? In fact, how many times have we been able to thank God for what we don't have just yet? Because perhaps, just perhaps, if he had given you that blessing too early, it wouldn't have been a blessing, it would have been a burden. And the burden of that blessing, which was meant to bless you, would have actually crushed you. Come on, let's just be real this morning. So I think about Water for Wholeness, and I come back to the story of Jesus and This pool represents as well a place of comfort. Because people were sitting around and they were in relationship with each other, and it was a place where they were united kind of around their disabilities. They were kind of united around their dysfunctions. And so they thought, let's come to a place where, yes, there is healing, but let's come to a place of comfort where we all kind of know each other's stories. And you need to know, in society, there is absolutely nothing wrong with groups that meet. In fact, groups all over society meet. Alcoholics Anonymous, Anger Management, all these groups that do fantastic work in our community. But you need to know that anything outside of Jesus Christ won't solve the problem. Because only in the presence of Jesus Christ was the miracle actually taking place for more than just healing, but for wholeness as well. See, Jesus came literally to be a circuit breaker in this moment for something that had happened year on year on year on year, being so close to a religious institution, having an Old Testament way of getting healed, that it was the first one in, that it was by your works, that it was a certain circumstance and a certain season that you could get healed. And Jesus said, hey, hold up, I'm coming and I'm breaking all the rules in this moment, because you were so close to religion, but right now is about relationship. Right now is about my presence, and I'm showing you what I can do in this moment. And he has this conversation with this man. What's interesting is when the breakthrough comes in this story. The breakthrough comes at the end of this man's sentence, right? Like if you read the verse, he says, hey, no one's helping me. I can't get in there. Like no one's, everyone's got their own healing. And I just, Jesus, help. Full stop. It's like you finished. Here's your healing. And I found it to be true in every single season of my life that my breakthrough begins where my excuses end. Every single time. That God's breakthrough is always waiting for me when my excuses end. Because I, if I'm being honest, my conversations are very similar to the conversations that Moses has with God. It's a literal burning bush and he's like, hey, just, heads up, it's me. And just need you to go back to Israel, let my people go, no big deal, but I'm kind of a burning bush, so this is kind of a big deal right now. And Moses is like, actually, I'm a stutterer. And later on, he's like, I got this stick thing, and, you know, it kind of doesn't do anything, it's a stick. And in his head, he's probably thinking, you know, I'm a murderer, and I can't go back there. And in my life, it's kind of like, hey, God, I know you want to do something in my life. Like, I know you've got breakthrough for me. But have you seen what I'm dealing with right now? Have you seen the kind of limited resource I've got right now? Have you seen what's kind of going on in my week? Have you seen what's happening in my workplace? Have you seen how crazy the kids have been this week? Are you sure you're around? Are you sure you're looking at what's happening in my life right now? And it's kind of the conversation between me and God. And I found that the quickest way to disengage from what God wants you to do, from what God wants to do in our lives, is often to offer excuses of previous seasons or seasons that we're currently in. Exodus 4, 10 to 13, look it up. He says, hey, pardon your servant, but slow of speech and tongue. Can't really do anything. God's like, hold on a second. Who gave you a voice? Who gave you the ability to speak? And then Moses comes back again. He's like, I hear you, but pardon your servant. Excuse me, God, would you send someone else? Moses is having this conversation. There can't be breakthrough. There can't be something else you have for me, God. They can't. I've got these reasons and I've got these excuses. And listen, they're legitimate reasons. They're legitimate excuses. I'm not making them up. But it's funny, when Jesus came, he said, hey, would you think about your kingdom language? Because he said, I need you, when you pray, to speak a little bit differently. To say words like, not my will, but your will be done. Give me this day my daily bread. God, not what I know what I want to do, but I'm putting that to a side to say, God, would you do what you want to do? That's the kind of kingdom language that we need to be speaking of. And the man at the pool looks up at Jesus. He doesn't have this concept yet. He's not grasping this kingdom language, but he's been there for 38 years. And you can imagine that at the start, he would have been full of faith. Year one, week one. Year two, March. Year three, May. Year four, July and November. And at the start, he would have been close. He would have been right there trying to get in. But the Bible says his response to Jesus was, there's been no one to bring me in. And in fact, I've kind of been pushed further away because people want to get their miracle. They want to get their healing. So over time, he's now 38 years gone and he's kind of like, it used to be good. Used to be good. Used to be great. Used to be fantastic. But now, Jesus, I'm just here. And I got to thinking, how many times do we settle on the used to's, right? How many times do we settle on the things we used to do really well. Like in 2019, maybe we kind of used to, you know, read our Bible every day, or maybe it was just God speaking to you in profound new ways, or maybe you ministered for the first time in 2019 to someone and you got to share your faith with them, or maybe you got to minister to someone and they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Fantastic, amazing. We want to celebrate that with you. That is great, but you can't just settle on the miracle of yesterday. In fact, I'd go as far as to say, don't settle for the best that you've done in the past for the rest of your life. And here's why, because yesterday's excellence can so quickly become tomorrow's mediocrity. So quickly. Don't let the best you've done in the past be the standard for the rest of your life, because yesterday's excellence can quickly become tomorrow's mediocrity. Well, Gareth, I don't know about that. Lamentations 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new yearly. Nope. His mercies are new every decade. Nope. His mercies are new every single morning. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, give us today our what? Yearly bread? Our bread of the decade? Come on. Our daily bread. And it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or 100 years old. The best to come in your life is your daily devotion to wholeness. It is your daily devotion to wholeness. And I'm believing that even as I'm speaking and sharing this message, that God, that the Holy Spirit right now is prodding certain areas of your life, because we all have them. So it's been there for 38 years. And you can imagine he's probably made some friends along the way, right? I mean, 38 years. You'd have spoken with some people around you. You'd have shared some stories as to why you've been there, as to what's happened in your life. And you'd share, oh, well, my parents worked as this. And at one stage, my dad's dad was in the temple and, you know, our family. But then, you know, our situation kind of changed. And you get to know each other's stories over time as you're going around. And everybody's knowing each other's stories. But he says, there's no one around to help me to the water. Have you ever stopped to think about where the people were who actually got healed? Like, where are they? Where'd they go? Right? Like, if you've got to know someone over even 30, even 15, even 10, even 5 years, you've been sitting with them around this pool, you've got this relationship, where'd they go after they got healed? Because here's the thing. Whole people help people. Whole people help people. See, they were healed, but they didn't have a recollection of what it actually meant to be made whole. So he says, no one's around. And that's why I love things at our church like Connect Groups, because Connect Groups are a place where we are all on a wholeness journey, but everyone is helping each other along. Everyone's saying, hey, you know what? I might be on this journey as well. And I don't know if I've known you for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but here, take my arm and we're going to do this journey together. Take my hand and we're going to be on this journey together. That's why someone said to me one time, hey, Gareth, what happens when this campus gets massive and all that? I said, it'll never be a problem, because for as long as we are around as a church, we're just going to be a big, small church. Because Connect Groups are where people around the pool literally say to one another, you know what? I've got issues. I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. We're all on a journey, glory to glory, strength to strength. But here, take my hand and let's do this together. Because I never want it to be said of Nations Church for someone to come up and say, you know what? I was waiting and I wanted my breakthrough, but there was no one to help me get there. That's why Connect Groups in our church are so, so important. But what's crazy is what this story actually represents and the picture of this story. See, Jesus comes around and he's walking through. And as he comes through, he's just the chapter before met with a Samaritan woman, as the band joins me. And so he's met with a Samaritan woman and he said to her, hey, listen, I know you're here for some physical water, but I'm going to tell you everything about yourself. And then he begins to say to her, listen, I know what you need, but you don't just need physical water. I I am literally the Christ that is here to save all my people, and what I have to give you is spiritual water. I am literally the water that you need for your life that will quench your spiritual thirst. And it's wild because after he says that, he does some other things. That's John chapter 4, and he walks his way through, and he gets to Jerusalem, and he gets to a pool, and he gets to a place that's so close to religion. And in John chapter 5, next to this pool of Bethesda, with five porches, John chapter 5, pool with five porches, five in the Bible representing and in a picture of God's grace. Grace rocks up to the scene. Grace rocks up to a place that was so close to religion. It was right next to the temple. And grace rocks up to a place under Old Testament tradition that said that you had to work to get your breakthrough. You had to work to get your healing. And Jesus comes as a circuit breaker, a picture of grace. John chapter 5, five porches. And he's here, a picture of grace, and says, hey, I know every person in this room is after some temporary, stagnant, stale water. But I've come to tell you today that I am the same thing that I told that Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. I am the living water. You want physical water. I am the living water that's able to satisfy your every need and spiritual desire. And the picture is complete. That grace comes to not just satisfy a temporary itch or a temporary thirst issue, but grace comes to offer wholeness, to offer wholeness to every human being, every person, young and old, every person, regardless of your age, stage, background, color of skin, whatever your parents did, whatever you did, it does not matter. Grace came as the circuit breaker to say, you know what? I know you think you needed this, but in fact, what you really needed was everything I had to give you. And the miracle happens. The miracle, the breakthrough happens in the presence of Jesus. Let me tell you, there is something so powerful about the presence of God. Things change, things move, things shake under the presence of God. The promise was always there. Everyone could see it. They knew that when the angel came and stirred the water, that they had access to their healing. It wasn't just some made-up fairy tale. They had seen it with their own eyes. You could write it in stone. There was a promise. There is a promise. There is a promise. A promise of yes and amen. A promise that the Bible says that surely Jesus took upon his shoulders all our sins, infirmities, and diseases. That he took that upon his shoulders. That by his stripes we are healed. There is a promise. There is a declaration for every single believer in this place. There is a promise. There is a promise. There is a promise. And if the promise ultimately determines the destination for when you get to that breakthrough, then surely the presence of God determines who you are when you get to that destination. The promise was always there for that man. But it was only when the presence of Jesus rocked up that he actually experienced more than just healing. He experienced wholeness. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made well?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.